Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
And there were a lot of rules put in place to make sure that there's an adequate basis before our law enforcement agencies get involved in political surveillance. I'm not suggesting that those rules were violated, but I think it's important to look at that.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I think spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Do you want to rephrase what you're doing? Because I think the word spying could cause everybody in the cable news ecosystem to freak out. And I think it's necessary for you to be precise with your language here. You normally are, and I want to give you a chance to be especially precise here.
I'm not sure of all the connotations of that word that you're referring to, but, you know, unauthorized surveillance. I want to make sure there was no unauthorized surveillance.
Okay, thank you.
Is that more appropriate in your mind?
This is your call. I really did want to give you a chance to say it how you wanted to say it and make sure that you didn't misspeak.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
President Obama separated children from their families, from adults. It was for their protection.
Right.
It was if there was a risk of trafficking or other kind of harm that might have been incurred. But even if he did do that, why is Donald Trump saying that two wrongs make a right? Again, Obama wasn't wrong.
He is the king. The king can do no wrong.
Unchained and unstoppable.
What are you guys doing to help us with the student loan debt? Mr. Monahan, Big Bang.
We stopped making student loans in 2007 or so.
Oh, so you don't do it anymore, Mr. Corbett?
We exited student lending in 2009.
Mr. Diamond?
When the government took over student lending in 2010 or so, we stopped doing all student lending.
Thank you. What about small business?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Howie Carr, am I part of the cable news ecosystem that Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii is so terribly concerned, worried about, as he told the attorney general today, saying that the FBI was spying on the Trump campaign is going to cause a commotion in the cable news ecosystem. How about in the criminal justice system that the largest law enforcement agency in the country was improperly, if not illegally, probably illegally, spying on a presidential campaign for the benefit of the party in power at the time, the Democrats? I think that's a little more important than the cable news ecosystem, even if I am a member of it, which I don't really consider myself a member. Although, I guess technically. Anyway, it's time now for the Chump Line.
Nice to see that young Grace is spending her weeknights watching Jeopardy instead of closing the Whiskey Priest.
Well, she doesn't have much choice because she can't close the Whiskey Priest because the Whiskey Priest, the bar in South Boston on Northern Avenue, has been closed for the last few months.
Hey, Howie, the Wall Street Journal says that men are going to start wearing scrunchies. Are you going to start wearing scrunchies?
I'm not really sure what a scrunchie is, but it doesn't sound like my type of
it's like a hair tie, only a lot bigger and busier.
A what?
It's like a hair elastic.
A hair elastic?
Yes.
I don't see that in my future, Patrice.
I was not peeping in your window. It was unauthorized viewing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're having a semantic dispute about what exactly is spying. And according to the definitions the Washington Post found in their apologia for the FBI, I'd say they were spying. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, who is celebrating springtime in New England by plowing 6 to 10 inches of snow today so that we can then plow out another 8 to 10 inches tomorrow, so we can then deliver our wicked awesome windows and doors.
Oh, there's an investigation coming, all right.
a very tactile investigation, one might say.
Yes, tactile, tactical, come on. She's just the junior senator from New York. Merriam-Webster defined spying as to watch secretly for hostile purposes. I think that's a good definition of crossfire hurricane. Oxford defines spy as a person employed by a government or other organization to secretly obtain information on an enemy or competitor. Competitor in this sense, competitor for the presidency. Yes, this was a spying operation by the FBI.
Hi, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. Wow, so they let you throw up the first pitch twice at Hadlock Field? Did you get a third chance to reach the plate, or were they booing too loud at that point? We're going to be fine.
I didn't come here to be made sport of. You know, I don't have as much on the fastball as I used to, and come to think of it, I never had anything on the fastball, but I did get the ball across the plate, and it didn't bounce in the dirt before it reached the plate.
I'll have my cable news ecosystem shaken and stirred.
Somebody wants to know who that was. That was Senator Brian Schatz from Hawaii talking about the cable news ecosystem. And the guy responding to it was the new Attorney General, William Barr.
Howie, you got to help me out here. Who's dumber? Maxine Waters or the people who keep electing her?
That's like asking what comes first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know. That's above my pay grade, as they used to say.
Mueller investigation, $25 million. Watching Gene Shaheen get her lunch stomped on, priceless.
Gene Shaheen, the senator from New Hampshire, was the Solon who followed up on Barr's comments yesterday to the House committee that he's going to have an investigation of the FBI. And she said, does it really require going that far? And that's when he used the S word, spying. He said, yeah, I think spying's a pretty big issue.
Can global warming help wipe out the cable news ecosystem?
Yeah, I mean, look what it's done to coral reefs, you know? That's all the more reason to have global warming if it will wipe out CNN and MSNBC.
It's not Barr who's upsetting the cable news ecosystem. It's man-made climate change that's doing it.
Seems to be a recurring theme here tonight.
So, Howie, who rats out Barry first? Brennan, Clapper, or Comey?
That's a really good question. None of them are exactly Mensa candidates, but the question is, who do you squeeze first? I'd probably go with Clapper, just because he's the dumbest of the three. But on the other hand, Comey is the most arrogant by a shade over Brennan. So I might go for Comey. By the way, do they think they have extra long orange jumpsuits for in the Bureau of Prisons if Comey's going away?
By the way, our friend Joe Concha, he just got numbers from Kirsten Gillibrand's town hall on CNN.
Yeah.
491,000.
491,000?
In the same slot, Laura Ingraham on Fox got 2.38 million and Larry O'Donnell on MSNBC got 1.86 million. Ouch.
They were thinking about slitting their throats when the Mueller report came out, and they had like, I think, 900,000 on that Monday night after the Mueller report cleared Trump. And it's good that Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN, had his big 54th birthday party last weekend before these tragically bad numbers came out. You know who was at the party? Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer came back. Jeff Zucker, the president of CBS, the fat guy who looks kind of like Brian Stelter's brother, he used to be Matt Lauer's producer. Do you think he knew about the button on Matt Lauer's desk?
Hey, Howie.
Regarding Senator Shaheen and her line of questioning today, will that now be her signature moment, or is it still getting Jackson off the $20 bill?
These are all excellent questions, and I don't know the answer today. I don't think she's going to be too popular in the cable news ecosystem for asking the question that led to the spying statement by Attorney General Barr.
Hey, is it too late to nominate Gene Shaheen for the Profiles in Courage Award?
As a matter of fact, it is. Nancy Pelosi is the beneficiary of that. Do we have the cut of Nancy Pelosi accidentally signing her name on a bill where Pence's name belongs? Cut number 12.
Oops. Did it in the wrong place. I did it in the vice president's place. Well, he'll have to just turn an N into a something. Hope that the president will sign the legislation.
Oops. Is that what the Kennedy family said when they handed out the Profile in Courage Award this year to Nancy Pelosi? Oops.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the chump line today. The chump line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the chump line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. The chump line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, who is celebrating springtime in New England by plowing 6 to 10 inches of snow today so that we can then plow out another 8 to 10 inches tomorrow so we can then deliver our wicked awesome windows and doors.
Mueller investigation, $25 million. Watching Gene Shaheen get her lunch stomped on, priceless.
Let's go to the break, Steve, with cut number 3. Cut number 3.
I think there's a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Spying did occur. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
This half hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you by Orion Metal Exchange. Protect your investments with gold and silver today with the experts I trust at Orion Metal Exchange. Go to OrionMetalExchange.com, OrionMetalExchange.com.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Orion Metal Exchange. Stocks are doing great now, but do you have a plan for the inevitable downturn? Investing in precious metals with Orion Metal Exchange may be the answer. For a free investing kit from Orion, text FREE KIT to 484848. Again, text FREE KIT, all one word, to 484848. For a limited time only, my listeners who open an IRA, an individual retirement account with Orion, will get a free Howie Carr VIP experience for two. You get to come to see the show, sit in the studio, stay 4 hours, have a nice meal from the Kowloon Chinese restaurant in Saugus, Massachusetts, and get some books that I've written. So that's it's a good deal. So go to text for free kit to 484848. Steve, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Would you take your kid to a measles party?
This is supposedly going on in Brooklyn, where no one's getting vaccinations for assorted reasons.
Like Bill de Blasio thinks that he can be president of the United States and he can't stop his constituents from purposely contracting communicable diseases.
Well, he wants mandatory vaccinations, but he goes down to the border to invite everybody to come into the country who's unvaccinated. But when it comes to his borough of Brooklyn in the city of New York, he wants to have mandatory vaccinations. No, I would not take my kids to a measles party.
8% holding strong, Howie. They're down for the measles party.
All right. Thought about saving this one for Police Blotter Facts Friday, but it's too weird. This is from Florida, of course. And you know, I always say no good deed goes unpunished. Last Saturday night, early Sunday morning in in Gainesville, Florida. That's isn't that where the University of Florida is? A guy was in the Waffle House, and he was passing out $20 bills to let, you know, just to, he was probably drunk. I mean, it was 3 a.m. it was probably after last call, but he was feeling no pain. Okay. He's passing out $20 bills to all the tables so they can buy free food. And, that act of kindness, according to the Gainesville Sun, led to resentment from one female customer, according to the sheriff's office. She got angry because the future victims, Craig Artez Brewer, his generous turn in paying for others' meals didn't include hers. Brewer had been picking up the tab for others' food and handing out $20 bills. So the man she was with went out to the car, got a gun, and shot the benefactor in the head. And he's dead. So don't be giving out $20 bills at the Waffle House after last call on a early Sunday morning. The most disturbing thing about Joe Biden, this was from the National Review, and this is a pretty interesting story. I didn't know this about Joe Biden. You know, he's been in the news for groping women and saying it's not a big deal, and he plagiarized, and he used to swim naked in front of Secret Service agents who happened to be female. Well, as most people know, when he was a young senator elect, he was 29 years old, 1972. His wife, then wife, and his daughter were killed when the wife apparently just went into a busy intersection when she should have stopped, and there was a big truck in the intersection and it had the right of way, and so the wife and the daughter were killed, and his two sons, Beau and Hunter, were injured. But no charges were ever filed against the driver of the truck because he was blameless. It was apparently Mrs. Biden that was at fault. It was a terrible tragedy, and people have always felt sorry for him about that. But for some reason, says the National Review, the evidence shows that in the early 2000s, Joe Biden began to remark in public that his wife had died at the hands of someone who allegedly drank his lunch instead of eating his lunch. That's an exact quote. He said that the driver of the truck, who was sober, not charged, not at fault, was an, quote, an errant driver who stopped to drink. The drunk driving story spread into news accounts. The family of the truck driver who had died in 1999, they had strong sympathy for Biden. They were shocked by the sullying of their reputation of their now dead father. They wrote the senator and asked him to stop and reminded him of the exonerating investigation. When that didn't happen, they went public. And this is from The Atlantic. The tale could hardly be more tragic, so why add in a baseless charge of driving under the influence? The family of the truck driver has labored to correct the record, but Biden has made reference to his drunkenness, which is false, as recently as 2007, needlessly resurrecting a false and painful accusation. That's really weird, isn't it? As the National Review says, this says so much more about Biden the man than any too close shoulder grasp ever could. It also says plenty about the contrition junkies who influence America's news cycle, and as Jim Garrity pointed out recently, he's another National Review writer, about the media who have for many years dutifully served as Joe Biden's reputational bodyguard. He has great gravitas, you know. That's what they said in 2008. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. When Bill Barr was nominated to be the new Attorney General way back a couple of months ago, Joe DiGenova, the former U.S. Attorney in D.C., said he was a great pick and he'd do the right thing, and he was someone who could get to the bottom of this Spygate, the greatest scandal in American political history. And it's... So far, Joe DiGenova's look, his prediction is looking pretty spot on. And as you know, today at a Senate hearing, Bill Barr, the new Attorney General, said that spying did occur. Yes, it did occur. Play cut three.
I think there's a spying did occur.
Yes, it did occur, he said. He repeated. So joining us now on the line is Joe DeGeneva. You were right on, I guess, Joe. What happens next?
Next is the authorization to conduct a grand jury after the Horowitz report is released. I don't think there's any doubt now at this point that a number of people have to be put under oath before the grand jury. First person is going to be Brennan, Clapper, John Carlin, the Assistant Attorney General for National Security, who submitted the false verifications to the FISA court and then resigned shortly thereafter. There's a lot of people, the people who framed General Flynn, the people who framed Papadopoulos. This is an endless list of people who committed grave, grave acts in the name of the United States and law enforcement, and it's not going to go unpunished. The thing about Bill Barr that people don't understand is he's a real lawyer. He's a very serious student. He's worked at the Central Intelligence Agency. He knows spying. He's been the attorney general. He's worked in the Office of Legal Counsel. He has a great legal mind. I remember going to the Supreme Court to watch Bill argue a case for Verizon when he was the general counsel of Verizon. And by the way, for all the folks who want to know why Rod Rosenstein hasn't been fired, it's a very simple. You keep your enemies closer. What Bill Barr did was he said, look, you little SOB, you're going nowhere. You're going to sit here until this whole goddamn thing is over. And if you don't like it, go ahead and leave and try to get a job after that. He's a leaker. Rosenstein is a leaker. Everybody knows it. He leaked to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times to cover his ass. Barr made it very clear to him. If you ever want to have lunch in this town again, you're not going anywhere. That's why he kept him there, so he could control him.
Steve's got a tweet from Chuck Schumer on this issue. Steve.
Yeah, this just in from the top-ranking Democrat in Congress. A.G. Barr admitted he had no evidence to support his claim that spying on the Trump campaign, quote, did occur. A.G. Barr must retract his statement immediately or produce specific evidence to back it up. Perpetuating conspiracy theories is beneath the office of the Attorney General.
Yeah. They keep doubling down. They keep, you know, the first rule of being in a hole is to stop digging, Senator Schumer, right? What is he saying this for?
They are very worried because the truth is that a number of members in the House and the Senate, Senator Warner, for example, from Virginia, Adam Schiff and others in the House, were complicit in perpetrating a known fraud on the American people. And they do not want Barr to investigate. Unfortunately for them, he's a real lawyer. And the nonsense that they are doing, like this goofy tweet from Schumer, is not going to stop the Attorney General. He knows what happened. He's been around the block before. He's been to a rodeo. He knows what this is all about. He knows what Comey did and McCabe. And by the way, Peter Strzok, besides being this sniveling little creep who had this relationship with Lisa Page, he was an evil guy. There's going to be some fascinating stuff coming out about him over the next week or two. And the spying that he authorized on a particular branch of the executive branch, and it's going to be very interesting.
Well, but you mean in the Trump era? Before?
Yes. Post-election spying that he authorized on very important people. It's going to be fascinating.
Is this after the inauguration or before?
Oh, yes.
After the inauguration. Wow.
Oh, yes. And, you know, people are aware of this now. There are people in the intelligence community who are now coming forward who were afraid to, while the holdovers from the Obama administration were still pulling the strings at the CIA and the Office of National Intelligence. Those people are not now in control, and the intelligence community people who know stuff are coming forward, and they are beginning to talk. This is a very bad week for John Brennan and James Clapper. These two awful people.
Spies.
Who work at...
These two spies.
Oh, God. You know what? When I gave my first speech about the FBI and how corrupt it had become, my first line was, the FBI used to spy on the Russians. This time they spied on us. And that's exactly what Brennan and Clapper did. They broke every rule that limits the intelligence community to not conducting operations against United States citizens and United States persons. They're going to have their day.
You're teasing me with this story about Strzok. You got to give me a little more hint. I know you can't drop the totally drop the story on me.
Nope, but I can't. I can't do that because I'm protecting a reporter who's working on a great story. But in due course, Mr. Strzok is going to wish he had taken a long trip on a slow ship. These guys were totally out of control, and no one in the Justice Department wanted to stop them. This is really what Barr is going to uncover. Is a group of people. This includes Lynch and Sally Yates and John Carlin and Comey and James Baker, all these people. Just think about this. We now know that they not only exonerated Hillary Clinton illegally, but as soon as they saw that Trump won, and even before that, they had tried to figure out a way to dirty him up to prevent him from winning. Once he won, they set in motion a colossal scheme to frame him for espionage when they knew he didn't do a thing. Just think about this. Now, people at the career level of the Department of Justice and the FBI knew that that was going on. Did any one of them blow the whistle? The answer is no. And every one of the people involved in this scheme against the President of the United States was a lawyer. A lawyer with ethical duties, bar duties, governmental duties. And you know what? The only person, well, he's not the only person, but the person who made the most difference early on, the guy with the bravest thing, was Admiral Mike Rogers.
Right.
But for him.
A military guy, not a lawyer.
You bet. You bet. An admiral.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to read you some headlines that the alt-left media has been putting out this afternoon. Barr says spying on Trump campaign did occur, but provides no evidence. That's CNN, Valerie Jarrett's daughter, and Evan Perez, who was one of the authors of the P dossier. Bill Barr is trying hard to be President Trump's Roy Cohn. Can you believe that? Joe McCarthy's lawyer. So trying to expose McCarthy-like tactics is now McCarthyism, according to the mainstream media. The Washington Post, William Barr's highly questionable use of Trump's spying talking point. So they're still trying to put the false narrative across, Joe.
If you were the Washington Post and you had done what they did, which is had one of your senior columnist David Ignatius received leaks, which were violations of the Espionage Act, from James Clapper. And they know that Ignatius is going to be in a grand jury.
This is the Michael Flynn story you're talking about.
That is exactly correct. When this starts to fall and Ignatius has to go into the grand jury, because he won't be revealing the source because they already know who his source is. But these guys...
How do they know?
How do they know what?
That who his source was.
Oh, because we know from the available evidence that it could only have been Clapper because of the sequence by which information went into David Ignatius's column, that we know when Clapper knew, we know when Comey knew, we know when Brennan knew, and the person who had the relationship with Ignatius was Clapper. Clapper is dead meat, and so is Brennan. But Clapper's got the biggest problem. Comey has a big problem because he leaked the classified memos to the New York Times by using a cutout lawyer.
Right.
But he's not going to get away with that. He's just not going to get away with it. But these people at the Post were complicit. You know, gathering news, fine. They're going to get leaks. They're going to get classified information.
Right.
But they did more than that. They participated in framing people, and they knew these people were not guilty of anything. They knew it. They knew it.
Hey, Joe, democracy dies in darkness. That's their motto, right? Democracy dies in darkness.
Yeah, right. Isn't that wonderful? Can you believe these people? They call themselves a newspaper. What a rag.
Yeah, I know. Hey, what about Devin Nunes' criminal referrals that he's sending over? What is that all about?
That's about a group of people in the intelligence community, some of whom we know, like Brennan and Clapper, and all these other people. But there are some other people who participated in this stuff. beyond Peter Strzok and others who were involved. And he's some of those names we don't know. So some of them we do. And that's pretty serious stuff. And I assume that the Attorney General has indicated that he's going to look at all that very, very seriously. It's going to be pretty tough not to impanel at least one grand jury, maybe two, to look at the activities of the people in the intelligence community. You mentioned earlier the Church Committee. I was minority counsel to the Church Committee in 1976. I was on that committee. I worked for Howard Baker and John Tower of Texas. We went through all this. We went through COINTELPRO. I was one of the people that wrote the report on FBI assassination plots. We know what can happen to the agency when it becomes
absolutely
politicized.
When Barack Obama took over
and he ensconced John Brennan in there, that was the end of a professional intelligence agency. And everybody out there knows it. They know that Brennan was a thug. He was an apparatchik. He's an absolute crazy man. All you have to do is watch him on television.
He's practically
psychotic. The only thing that's missing are these marbles in his hand like Humphrey Bogart.
The Kane Mutiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think Comey, Brennan, and Clapper are going to jail?
I don't know if they're going to jail, but I know they're going to appear before a grand jury, and they may take the fifth, but they're going to get subpoenas for a grand jury, every single one of them.
Is anyone going to go to jail? Who's the most likely of all the usual suspects to end up in the can?
Strzok, McCabe, and those people are the likely ones because of their just incredible activity in and out. But here's the other thing. You see, Brennan went overseas and asked foreign intelligence agencies to spy on Americans
overseas,
which he knew he couldn't do because of limitations on U.S. persons. And he asked the British, United Kingdom, MI6, and their big electronic center in London to do stuff. So all of that has to be investigated because that involves violations of our five, the group of five who agree not to spy on one another.
Right. You know, the English-speaking countries.
U.S.
Yeah.
That's right. And what happened was, Brennan broke the rules, and the people in the UK agreed to break the rules for him. Mm-hmm. So we not only have a domestic legal criminal problem, we have an international
right. Well, didn't the head of MI6 resign like one or two days after Trump was elected president? Because he saw the handwriting on the wall. So anyway, Joe DeGeneva, are you going to be on anywhere tonight on TV?
No, my wife and I are going out for dinner here in Palm Springs with
Suzanne
Summers and her husband.
She's been a guest on the show. Tell her I said hello, Suzanne Summers. Hey, thank you, Joe, and we'll have you on again. And this is a happy day. It's a night for champagne, perhaps. You know,
it's party time.
Thank you, Joe DeGeneva, the former U.S. attorney in D.C. I'm Howie Carr.
If you change the station, the moon bats win. You're listening to the Howie Carr Show.
World-famous veterinarian Gary Richter has a new trick to improve your dog's food at home without switching brands. To learn how to help your dog live a long, healthy life, go to dogthrive8.com. That's dogthrive, the number 8.com.
Check out Howie's trending stories at HowieCarshow.com. Brought to you by Orion Metals. That's HowieCarshow.com.
844-500-4242. Well, that was quite a tease. Strzok was spying on members of the Trump administration before he was appointed to the Mueller probe. I mean, that is really big news. And I wonder if Mueller knew that he was conducting this improper surveillance or illegal surveillance. Well, he is a graduate of the Boston office of the FBI. So, you know, Zip Connolly and the shade of H. Paul Rico and Vino John Morris and Dennis Condon and Agent Orange and all the rest of those crooked agents. I'm sure they're very proud of their boy, Peter Strzok. 844-500-4242. That's right, exactly. My personal access will be ground. But anyway, she did mention Gene Shaheen. And I want to, this is the long cut. This is the money cut from the morning. Gene Shaheen is asking Attorney General Barr, you know, why do you need an investigation like you told the House yesterday? Cut two.
That's why you feel a need to do that?
Well, for the same reason we're worried about foreign influence in elections. We want to make sure that during an election, I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. It's a big deal. Generation I grew up in, which was the Vietnam War period, you know, people were all concerned about spying on anti-war people and so forth by the government. And there were a lot of rules put in place to make sure that there's an adequate basis before our law enforcement agencies get involved in political surveillance. I'm not suggesting that those rules were violated, but I think it's important to look at that. And I'm not talking about the FBI necessarily, but intelligence agencies more broadly.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I don't, I guess you could, I think there's a spying did occur.
Spying did occur. Google COINTELPRO tonight if you want to read up what was going on in the 70s.